Well, it's good to be here this evening. Good to see all of you. Good to be able to come together again. We're going to be in Galatians. Going to be in Galatians this evening. Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to take a break from Psalms. We've been in that for several months now, and we were in Psalm chapter 44, I believe, and we're going to take a break from that for just for this month. We're coming up to the, we're in the season of Christmas, and we're going to look at the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to look at for the next 4 weeks. And tonight we're going to look at the timing of the birth of Jesus Christ. The timing of the birth of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the Galatians here. This book is written to the churches at Galatia. And he talks about Jesus Christ coming into this world, God sending His Son at just the right time. And so Jesus Christ came at just the right time. Amen. And so we're going to look at that here this evening, and then we'll continue on for the next 3 or 4 weeks looking at these different aspects. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've given to us, blessed us with. We thank You for watching over us for another week. We thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for being gracious and good to us, Lord. We pray that You'd help us, Lord, to get a good firm grasp and hold upon the incarnation of Your Son and what it means to us. And Lord, help it to be precious in our sight. Father, Lord, help us to trust You and look to You in every situation of life, no matter how bad it might be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul is writing to the churches at Galatia, and the theme of the book of Galatians is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the churches of Galatia were up against a problem within their congregations. They had false teachers that had come in and had tried to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he started out with in the first chapter of this book here. He says that there would be some who would come in and would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, and they were adding a couple little things to what Jesus Christ had done on the cross, the gospel, the salvation that He accomplished on the cross. They were just adding a couple of things. One of those things was the works of Moses, the works of the law, and circumcision. They said you had to do these things in order to be saved, and Paul is writing to them to try to persuade them not to go back under the law, not to trust in themselves, not to trust in their good works, but to only trust in Jesus Christ. And today is no different than it was in Paul's day. There are still people that still want to try to add something to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They still want to try to add this little thing or that little thing. And can I tell you here this evening, it doesn't matter what you add, you're still perverting it. You know, you can add one little thing, and you might as well have added 100 things, because you can't add anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's what Paul is writing here. That's the theme of this letter. We're going to read the first 7 verses of chapter 4. And he says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your fathers, crying, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, what Paul is saying here in this portion of verses here is he's making a comparison between the Jews and the Gentiles in their state before they received Jesus Christ. And in biblical times, a child would be born and he would be an heir, okay? And then he would have to wait until he got his full inheritance. He'd have to wait on the Father to give him his full inheritance, okay? And when the Father said, when the time is right, you're going to get your inheritance, and you'll, I guess you could say, receive full sonship. That's what he's saying here in these verses. Now he's comparing that to us. And he's saying, we were under, what does he say there in verse number 2? Under tutors and governors. The Jews were under the law in the Old Testament. The Gentiles were under the elements of the world. And so we were in bondage under those things until the time came to where God sent His only Son into this world and died for our sins. And now we can receive inheritance as sons. And that's all dependent upon God's Son. We receive inheritance as sons through God's Son. That's the only way that we can get it. So Paul is saying here, hey, you can't work for it. As a matter of fact, look in the chapter before it, he says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That's what the law is, that's what one of the uses of the law was, purposes of the law, was to drive us to Jesus Christ, was to show us our sinfulness. That's what happens whenever you read the law of Moses. And so when the time came, now we can receive inheritance as sons at the right time. And so Paul is saying, when the fullness of time was come. I don't know if you ever thought about this, or I'm sure you have, but how important that timing is. Timing is almost everything, I believe. I mean, if you want to accomplish a goal or accomplish something in your life, and you've brainstormed on it, you've thought about it, man, you planned, you purposed, and you did all these things, but the thing that it comes down to most of the time is going to be timing. What's the timing? Say, for instance, maybe in a football game, you have 12 players on each side of the field, and they practice. And they try to execute their play. They go over it and over it and over it. And they do all of these things. Why? They want to win the game. They want it to be a success. They work on blocking. They work on catching. They work on throwing. They work on doing all of those things. So they get out there on the football field and they execute the play. The quarterback gets behind the center and he says, hut, hut, hike, whatever he says. Says that. Hike the ball. He's got to go back. He goes back maybe 5 or 10 yards. The receiver leaves the line of scrimmage at the right time. He can't jump the gun. He can't jump off sides. Right time. He's got to run down the field maybe 20 yards, 30 yards, however long the play is designed. He's got to throw the ball before the receiver gets to the right spot, right? Because the receiver can't get down there and say, okay, I'm here. No, because all the defense is going to be watching. So he's got to throw the ball at the right time. It's got to meet the receiver at the right yard line in order for that play to be a success. It's all down to timing. It's all down to timing. So there is a specific design in mind for that football, those plays that they do, isn't there? Specific design. Same way it is here with the birth of Jesus Christ. There was a specific design and a plan and purpose in play whenever Jesus Christ came to this earth. It wasn't an accident. It's no accident that Jesus Christ came at the time that He came. Okay? It says in verse number 4, when the fullness of time was come, everything was fulfilled for Jesus Christ to come back. He couldn't have come back 500 years before that. He couldn't have come back 1,000 years before that. When the fullness of time was come. And so Paul is speaking here and he's telling them that you were under the law, you were under the elements of this world, but then the time came and Jesus Christ was born And now you can receive adoption of sons, and you can now cry, Abba, Father, adopted into the family. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did and how he came, all those things. We see here in verse number 4, God sent forth his Son. That's deity. He is the Son of God. Made of a woman. That's his humanity. He was also a man. He is the God-man. You read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15 about this very prophecy, and it's being fulfilled right here. The Bible says in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman will come and crush the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman. Here we go. The seed of the woman, made of a woman. And it came at just the right time. So the real meaning of Christmas is about the Son of God coming to this earth to redeem his creation. And it's not only people that he redeems. Jesus Christ is going to redeem this entire earth, this sin-cursed earth that we live on. All of the storms and all of the hurricanes and all of the disasters of this world will be taken care of by Jesus Christ. All of the governments, the corrupt governments that are in this world will all be taken care of one of these days through Jesus Christ. It is, all comes through Christ. That's the whole theme of the Bible. Human beings messed it up and God's going to fix it. That's the theme of the Bible here. So the real meaning of Christmas is that God sent his Son. As Christmas approaches, I want us to look at the miraculous events that surround Christmas time. Let's look at God's perfect, miraculous timing for the sending of his Son to the earth. And I'm going to make application to each and every one of us. Number one, we see that he came at the right time. He came at the right time. It was no accident. Number two, we're going to look at how he provides at the right time. And number three, I'm going to show you that he says now is the right time for service. Now is the right time for service. It's not tomorrow, church. It's not a year from now. It's not whenever I feel like getting around to it. It is now. But number one, he came at the right time. There was nothing else, as I said, that needed to be fulfilled for God's timetable for Christ to be born. God had an appointed time. He had a perfect moment that Jesus Christ was going to come back, and it was at that time that he came. The law of God had already accomplished what God had meant for it to do, and that was to show us our sinfulness. That was to show us that we could not live up to God's standard of righteousness. And so Jesus Christ came. All the conditions were prime for the coming of the Messiah. What was happening on the earth whenever Jesus Christ came to this earth? Now I know it's getting started a little bit slow here, but we're going to get into some good things here. Okay? What was happening on the earth, and why was it the prime time for Jesus Christ to come back to this earth? Number one, it was the perfect time religiously. The children of Israel had given up idolatry during their Babylonian captivity. They didn't worship idols anymore. They didn't do any of those things. It was just right for perfect worship to happen in Israel upon this earth. They had given up all of those idols in their Babylonian captivity. They had developed synagogues, which they used as places of worship and school. They took care of all their law practices and things right there in those synagogues. So those things were in place whenever Jesus Christ came to this earth. The Old Testament canon of Scripture was completed by the time that Jesus Christ came. The last prophet to prophesy was Malachi, and it was all completed and assembled by Ezra and the scribes and others, and it was all ready by the time that Jesus Christ came. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, the religious leaders of Israel were in a time of apostasy. You ever read Matthew 23? Jesus Christ's scathing rebuke of the Pharisees and the Sadducees of their day. You know what they were following? They were following the Talmud. They were following their own traditions. They were superimposing tradition over the commandments of God. Jesus Christ himself said, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition." What they need? They needed some truth. They needed some light. They needed a Messiah. They needed a Savior. They needed a King. They needed all of those things. They needed Jesus Christ. They desperately needed those things. It says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, about Jesus Christ when he came to this earth. It says, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light." Who was that light? That light was Jesus Christ. He is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It goes on to say in that same verse, "And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up." So it was a perfect time religiously for Jesus Christ to come back. What about culturally? Yeah, it was a perfect time culturally for Jesus Christ to come back. Alexander the Great had already set up Greek culture. Here the Jews are, the nation of Israel, and they are in Alexander the Great had established Greek culture, and Greek was the universal language of the time. What does that mean? Well, for one thing, you know that the New Testament was written in Greek. That's the original language it was written in. What did the disciples do whenever Jesus Christ had ascended and they went out on their missionary journeys all across the land? The Roman Empire, I was trying to think of, just came back to me. What did they do? They went all around, they preached the gospel, and they didn't have to know all these different languages. Greek was the universal language of that day. Perfect time for Jesus to come back. Perfect time to preach the gospel. So it was a perfect time culturally. Number three is a perfect time politically. Rome was in power and provided political and financial stability. Boy, had a huge empire there with Rome. They had built nice roads connecting all the towns, all the villages, all of those different places. What's the significance of that? Well, if you want to go out and preach the gospel, it sure is nice to have roads, isn't it? Amen. Yeah, sure is. So that's what they did. They went out, they got to go out on the Roman roads. Well, you've heard the Roman road anyway. You know, you go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. But this is a literal road here. They could travel freely and safely all across the region, everywhere, preaching the gospel. It was no accident that Jesus Christ was born at this time. And the nation of Israel was looking for deliverance because they were in bondage under Rome at this time. And so God's timing is no coincidence. God picked that time in history for a specific purpose, and he intervened in history for a specific purpose at that time. So Jesus Christ came at the right time. Has God intervened in your history? Has God intervened in your life? I'm sure that he has. I know that he has. If he had not intervened, there's no telling where you might be today if God had not intervened in your life, if God had not intervened in my life. The very fact that you're here this evening, sitting in these pews, listening to preaching, with the spouse that you have is because God's timing. He sent you here, and there's a reason for that. You were born at a specific time for a specific purpose. Amen. There's a reason why that you're here, and there's a reason why that I'm here. God has preserved your life thus far, hasn't he? Amen. Boy, he could have killed me 1,000 times. 1,000 times. Amen. I've already told you some of those stories that happened to me. I felt I'd fallen off backwards into a hole 30 feet deep. You know, I could have been dead that time. Could have been dead a lot more times. And every one of y'all could have been dead a lot more times. But yet God has preserved your life and brought you here for a specific reason. God's timing, his purpose. We think about people in the Bible that God said, "I'm calling you out for a specific purpose and a specific reason. And my timing is no accident." We think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah said about God's calling upon his life, and God himself said, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I sanctified you for this reason, to go out and preach to the nation of Israel." That's the reason why. How about Paul the Apostle who wrote this letter? You can read it in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 15. Paul says, but God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's the reason for his calling. Go out and to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. We think about Esther as well. We just started the book of Esther in the Sunday school class. God had a reason and a purpose for that lady and where she was at and why she was there. All of those different things. So all of history is in God's hands. All of history is in God's hands, and he came at the right time. So if all of history is in God's hands, I know that he will send help at just the right time. At just the right time for you and I. He always provides at the right time. God is never late. He works on his own timetable. I mean, we might think that, God, you're late. You should have been here. As a matter of, you know, you remember about Lazarus and his sisters, and they were complaining to Jesus that he was late, but really he wasn't late. He was just on a different timetable than they were. Amen. There's a reason why he was late. Amen. God always provides at the right time, so we must never be worried or anxious. We think about Jesus Christ being born and coming into this world, and he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. But where were Mary and Joseph, his parents, whenever Jesus Christ was about to be born? They were in Nazareth. That's where they were. What happened? A decree came out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Who do you think was behind that decree? Well, it was God was behind that decree. Because where did Joseph have to go? Well, he had to go back over to Bethlehem to get to pay his taxes and all those things. So Jesus could be born in Bethlehem. He provided the decree at just the right time. Amen. How about those wise men that had to go out and find Jesus? Who do you think put that star up there in the heaven so that they could follow it? He provides at just the right time. At just the right time. Maybe you're going through a struggle in your life, or maybe you're waiting or you're wanting something from God. But did you know, let me tell you something here this evening. God knows what you're facing. You're not alone in this world. Amen. You're not alone at all. The Bible says that God cares for you, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He's close. He's near. Let me read you these verses out of Psalm 145 about the provision of God for his people. It says in Psalm 145, 14 to 17, "The Lord upholds all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou give them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all of his works." God is going to provide at the right time. Don't despair. Don't worry. Don't be fret. Be anxious. Any of those things. When God sent the children of Israel into the promised land, they didn't know what they were getting into, did they? They had no idea. They knew there was giants over there. They knew they had clusters of grapes that two men had to carry in between two full-grown men. They knew that. They knew they saw Jericho, and they saw the big wide walls, and they kind of saw those things that they were facing. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know how's God going to provide. I mean, we've been wandering around here in the wilderness for 40 years. What are we going to do? How are we going to get? I mean, we're going to grow crops. Who's going to feed us? You know what God said? He said, "Don't worry about that." He said, "I will send rain in due season. I'll provide." God always provides at the right time. We read that all throughout the Bible. You read about Elijah and how God supplied his needs through a raven. My goodness, God is in the business of supplying needs. Now, he doesn't always supply all of the things that we want, but he supplies the things that we need. I was reading a story about David Brainerd. He was a missionary to some Indians over there. And he was a man of prayer. He had a burden for the Indians where he was at. And he kept a journal, wrote down everything that happened in his life. But David Brainerd one day was out and about, and he ran into a big storm. He didn't know what was going to happen. And he had to go and hide in the hollow of a log, big hollow of a log. Now, that's some good housing there, but that's where he was at. Man, the storm was beaten down. That's why he had to hide in the log. The storm was beaten down, didn't know what was going to happen. Came around time to eat, and he didn't have any food. Didn't know what he was going to do, and all of a sudden he heard some scurrying over there in the corner and some fluttering around, and all of a sudden he saw a squirrel come up and dropped a bunch of nuts right there at the hollow of that log. So he ate those nuts. He was in the hollow of that log for 3 days. 3 days. Do you know how God took care of him 3 days in the hollow of a log during a storm? A squirrel. The squirrel kept coming back and bringing nuts to David Brainerd, and he ate them all 3 days. God provides our needs at just the right time. He knows what we need, and he knows when we need it, and he comes to us in our sinful and our broken condition, undeserving sinners, and he provides our needs. It says in Romans 5, 6, "For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." He provides our needs at just the right time.
Amen.
Just the right time. And that's not the end of it, folks. Salvation is not the end of it. The act of salvation is not the end of God's grace, the end of God's provision. He keeps on providing. He keeps on giving us grace. He keeps on giving us help throughout our Christian life. So God provides at just the right time. God is now calling out you and I, and he is telling us that now is the right time for submission to service and salvation. He's saying now is the time. Now is the time to serve him. Now is the time to be saved. You don't have to wait for anything else. You and I don't have to wait for something else to be accomplished in order to serve him. Now is the time for service and salvation. We're always looking for the right time, aren't we? Oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when this happens. I'll do it when that happens. We are a nation of convenience, aren't we? We always want to do it on our time, on our timetable. We got convenience stores on every corner. Why? Because Americans like convenience. That's why churches are getting today. They're more of a convenience for people. You know, it's all about the people in mind and not God. A nation of convenience. We have internet access. We can shop anytime we want to. We can have drive-up weddings at Vegas. Why? For convenience. We want to do it on our time. Did you know that God's not that way? He says, you're going to do it on my time. We're not going to put God off and say, well, I'll do it on my time. No, we have to do it on God's time. We think we can treat God the same way. I'm thinking about Paul the apostle as he went and he preached to the governor Felix. And he preached of righteousness and temperance and repentance. And he came to Felix, and Felix says, when I get a convenient time, then I'll call for you. And by the way, he was trembling when he said that. He said, I'm going to do it on my time, in a convenient time. The Bible doesn't ever say whether he got saved or not. Probably didn't. Felix probably went to hell because he said, I'm going to do it on my time. My time. God says, now is the time for salvation. When Jesus Christ came and preached to the people in Israel, he said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. He didn't say, wait until you feel better. He said, get right now. He said, get saved now. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to die tomorrow. You don't know what kind of situation that you might get into tomorrow. I'm sure everyone here have a clear testimony of salvation, but God says the time is now. Now's the time for Christian service. Now's the time for Christian service. We don't need to say, we'll wait till tomorrow. I'll wait until I'm more mature and I'm more ready, then I'll serve God. Can I let you in on a little secret? It's never going to be just the right time. You're never going to have just the right feeling. You got to do it now. God is a God of now. Now is the time to start reading your Bible. Now is the time to get baptized. Now is the time to join the church. Now is the time to start a prayer life. Now is the time to be a witness. Not later. Right now. God's time is now. Now. He says again, Paul says again in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We don't know what's coming up around the corner. We have no idea. Now is the time to live a pure life. Now is the time to live for God. Amen. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1 to 8, he says, there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. I don't know what season of life you're in, but he talked about seasons in these verses here. He says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun, under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Well, that's real. That's real. That's life right there. I don't know what kind of season that you're in. I don't know what kind of season that God has put you through, but he puts us through all kinds of different seasons in our lives. Your time is now. I would encourage you to make the most of it. Hey, the timing of God's Son coming to this earth was no accident. It's no accident. He came here for a specific design and a specific purpose. One thing we can be certain of is the fact that God's timing is always purpose, or always perfect. There is a reason for the seasons that he brings us through. And as children of God, he has given us hope, he has given us help, he has given us encouragement and strength, but we get it through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's where we get it through his Son. So the time is now, not later, for faith in Jesus Christ, faith in his Son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Lord, for the time that you sent him to us, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and strengthen us as we walk through this life, as we go through this life. Father, I pray that you'd help us to look to your Son, Jesus, and the grace that is found in him. Lord, help us to receive strength through his Son. Lord, help us now. Watch over these folks and all of us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.